Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, it's a delight to be able to minister in my home church this morning. It's good to say I have a home church. Amen. I have a pastor. I've been planted in a church. This couple that we just prayed for, he told me that I was here the first day they came, and they've been here ever since. They got planted. Amen. You know how many wandering souls there are out there? Just wandering around. Wandering around. Maybe turn the auditorium lights up a little. Maybe have the lights on. I'm not sure. Wandering souls, wandering from place to place, huh? Without a pastor, without a church family, without a father, just wandering around. Hallelujah. Okay. Hebrews 11. But it's been a wonderful week. Boy, Friday morning, Friday night, my goodness. Whew, it was so powerful in this place. Some of you were here. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to lead the services this week. Hallelujah. And thankful to this church, Pastor Bill and Sue Hart, for inviting us to come. A bunch of my friends were here. Still got some of my friends here today. In fact, I got a lot of friends here today. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 11. I got my big Bible today. I've lived in small houses and big houses. I like big houses better. I've driven small cars and big cars. And I like big cars better. I'm getting some feedback from somewhere. Maybe that's just the Lord speaking to me. I don't know. I've had little Bibles and big Bibles, and I like big Bibles better. Hallelujah. I've had little microphones and big microphones. I like big microphones better. Okay. Hallelujah. Okay, y'all ready?
We're ready.
I'm ready to get started. Somebody encourage me a little bit.
Let's go now.
One of my favorite chapters in the whole wide world is this one. I've got a couple of translations here, so I'm going to read from this one. I'm going to read from the New King James translation. I got the Living Bible right here. I think I'm going to read the New King James. Can I get rid of the reverb anyway? I'm sure there is. Yeah. Hallelujah. They're working on it. Okay. Not a problem. And isn't it amazing how we never recognize the audio people, the sound people, until it doesn't sound right? How many of y'all have ever gone by and said, "Oh, it sounded great today. Thank you much." Has anybody ever done that? You go over to the sound booth? "Oh, thank you much. It was great today." Huh? But if it doesn't sound quite right, "Oh, what's wrong?" You understand what I'm saying. Now faith. Somebody say now faith.
Now faith.
Faith is now. You can't store it up. You can't say, what if I ever went through that? What if that ever happened to me? I don't know if I can handle that or not. No, it's not future faith. It's now faith. Hallelujah. Bill and Sue Hart came to Austin and birthed a church 35 years ago by faith. It wasn't a future faith. It was a now faith. Yep. Now faith is what? The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It's what? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the world, we got to understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God spoke the Word and the world came into existence. It was all created by the Word, by faith. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Verse 4, by faith Abel. Verse 5, by faith Enoch. he got translated out of here. It was according to his faith. He wasn't found. They looked for him many days, couldn't find him. But before his translation, he had a testimony that he pleased God. Now, I like this one, verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's what?
Impossible.
Hallelujah. I call Bill and Sue Hart the faith people. They've walked this out by faith for 35 years. They are probably the top 2 percentile in America of pastors, because the average length or tenure of a pastor is 2.5 years in America. And they've got to 35 years. How have they came and stayed? Because of faith. Hallelujah. How do we operate? By faith. Do I have an amen?
Amen.
But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Some people say, well, I'm my own man, my own person, my own woman. I don't need anything. I don't need anybody. I got it all staved up, stored up. I've got everything secure. Don't need any faith. Yeah, you do. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently, what? Who diligently seek him. That means we got to keep running after God, whether we're 16 or 36 or 56 or 75.
Amen.
We got to keep running after God, diligently seeking him, passionate for God. And passionate for the house of God. Hallelujah. He's a reward of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah. Boy, that Noah guy, he was quite a guy. He was warned of things that were coming. And he moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. What? He prepared something for his house, for his family. Over a hundred years he did that. Wow. Verse 6, by faith Abraham. Somebody say Abraham.
Abraham.
By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive for an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. But by faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, his son and his grandson. Now, kind of the theme of the ministry this week here has been generations. How many know that God is a generational God? He's a generational God. Abraham dwelt in tents with Isaac and Jacob. What was he doing? He was passing down the inheritance from one generation to another generation. Because he's a generational God. Several years ago, I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, ministering at a church. I ministered there several times. Near Oral Roberts University, there's a church there. And There's a couple that came from Iowa or some Iowa, I believe. And they took a few people and got this church going. And there was a Walmart building down the street, and Walmart decided that they were going to build a superstore, a super Walmart. So they moved out of that building, and the pastor of that little congregation thought that that's supposed to be our building. So they wrote and made this proposal to Walmart, the Walton family, to give them that facility that they were asking $7.3 million for, because the parking lot is enormous and all that land right there in a very strategic part of Tulsa. So they said, we're going to minister to these different groups. We're going to serve the community. We're going to all the things that they would do to be a blessing to the community. So one day this lady called them up from Arkansas. And she said, Pastor, I have some good news and I have some bad news. And the bad news, first of all, is that we're not going to give you the building. We can't do it. But I have some good news. We're going to knock $5 million off of the price. And you can have the building for instead of $7.3 million, you can have the building for $2.3 million. So the pastor said, by faith, we just got these little group of people. How can we do $2.3 million? And he said to her, how do you have the authority to do that? She said, well, I am Sam Walton's sister, by the way. And she said, this will be the smallest deal that I'll make all day long. That was 17 years ago. So, by faith, they were able to get a loan for $2.3 million. Several years ago, Gene and I went and started ministering. And 3 or 4 years ago, or 4 or 5 years ago, whenever it was, I stood up and I began to prophesy. And I said, I see this building being paid off in the near future, and I see me coming back and helping burn the mortgage. So 2 or 3 weeks ago, I get this invitation. Someone suddenly came, on New Year's Eve came and brought a check, put it down on the platform to pay the building off. The building suddenly is paid for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And guess what? I'm not really traveling around much anymore, but what did I say? I see myself coming back to Tulsa helping you burn the mortgage. So this past Sunday night, right after Breakout Radio Church, we flew to Tulsa, had a quick turnaround, and I was there for this to preach and to prophesy and to help burn the mortgage on this beautiful facility. And as I looked there, I was wondering, this church is really blessed, but why is this church so blessed? And the Holy Spirit was just speaking to me, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because I saw a couple that had been there for 35 years, same as you guys have been. 35 years. And there with them that night was their children and their grandchildren. Abraham was there on Sunday night and working with them in the church. Two of their children working full-time at the church, and the others had businesses or worked for an energy company or other things. But they were all there working together, and it was like God was saying, there is a father and mother in the house. And their children and their grandchildren are in the house. And it was like the Lord was saying, this is not really what our society would describe as a church. It's more of a family. And there's a lot of Christians, they don't have that revelation of the father and the mother and the children and the grandchildren and the family. I know that I've heard Pastor Bill Hart talk about it, but a lot of people don't have that concept. There's this concept of don't fence me in. I just want to, oh, I'm just passing by. I'm passing by. There's some people that never have the concept of a family. It's a neighborly concept. Huh? What will a neighbor do? I just thought I'd drop in for a moment. And we have in the church today this neighborly concept. I'll drop in, see if I like it, see if I like the service. I'll just drop by a little bit. You know, when my kids and my grandkids come over, it's not just dropping by a little bit. We get together, we have a meal, we laugh, we hug each other, we talk, we share. When you come into this church, it's that family atmosphere. People are moving around, hugging each other, celebrating each other, laying hands on people that's going to start a ministry, and that's family. But it's like the Christian, am I doing okay? Can I keep going a little bit long? It's like the Christian concept today is, we'll drop in. We want to see if they're friendly and we'll drop by a little bit as long as the service doesn't last too long. And you know, we don't care if anybody knows us or not. We'll just kind of drop in and just like a neighbor would do. And they don't recognize, most of them don't recognize the father in the house or the children in the house or the grandchildren. One of the wonderful things that I had at my birthday party was my beautiful wife, Jean, whom I've been in love with since she was 13 and I was 15. And she was here, but my kids were here and my grandkids were here. I had one granddaughter and her husband didn't get to be here because of their commitment to trying to finish Texas Tech University and be a Red Raider. But the rest of them were here. What an honor it was, because I know that the most important aspect of any life could be to a father is their children and their grandchildren. But in so many churches today, there's not a father in the house. There's a hireling in the house. The denomination that I grew up in, I love them because they gave me my start in ministry, but you get voted into that church. And if they don't like you after a year or two, they vote you out. And there's some, I call it a bell cow. Somebody, a man or a woman that kind of controls the church. And every statement they make, they look at that person to see if they really approve of what they're doing. Because they know if they don't approve, they'll get the deacon board. And the deacon board will influence the congregation. And they'll vote them out and get them a new hireling. Hallelujah. I've learned two or three things since I've been in the ministry 52 years. And that is that we have lost the concept of the father in the house and the honor that goes with a father and a mother of the house. I would never be a part of a church where there was a hireling. Because I'd appear one day and say, where did the pastor go? Well, he got voted out this past week. We decided to terminate him, fire him. I need some stability. I mean, this world has gone crazy. And Austin definitely is staying weird. I need, with everything that's happening, I need some stability in my life. I need a pastor. I need a father figure. I need a shepherd. I need somebody that is reliable. I need a church family that is here and that I know that loves Gina and I.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And the father and mother's house, how they love us, and they're not threatened by us. That's
right.
Good. The Bible said those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of their God. Hallelujah. And so God blesses Abraham. He makes a covenant with him and he said, I'm going to bless you and you are going to be a blessing. Why Abraham? Because Abraham had his family in order. I like things that are in order. Hallelujah. And when I come here, I know there's a man and woman of God that came and birthed this church and stayed. And their kids are here and their grandkids are here. And I want to say something, that if you're not only going to honor this man and this woman, you honor their children and you honor their grandchildren.
Amen. Amen.
Because their children, their grandchildren are part of their heritage, a part of their seed. I'm doing good. Hallelujah. I'm doing very good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul, you know I'm right. You've been sitting there for years. And I mean, you got the concept. It's amazing how people get offended over the least little thing and they're out the door because they don't have the concept of family. You know, my kids or grandkids, they can get offended at me, but I'm telling you, after a while, here they come back. Huh? Because they know I'm the dad, I'm the papa. Hallelujah. They know they're going to get fed. They know they're going to be blessed. They understand the concept of honor thy father and mother, by the way, which is the first commandment with promise. And it's not just talking about biological fathers and mothers. It's also, if you'll read the word, it talks about the spiritual father and mother. And Gene and I, we got hold of this concept many years ago. Many years ago. That I was to honor my father and mother. And Gene and I, we bought cars for my mom and dad. I helped them with their finances. I took them on trips. When my mom went to heaven and my dad moved in with my sister and brother-in-law, I sent money every month to help take care of my mom and my dad. You know the father and mother of this house, it's not about, I hope they have some Social Security. No, we're responsible for them for the day they die.
Amen.
Huh? Yeah. Amen. Their welfare, their being. Because even if there comes a day where they're really not considered maybe the senior leaders or whatever, they're still the father in the house. As long as they live, the father in the mud. Hallelujah. Because we're family. And the strength of this church does not depend on the numerical strength. You understand what I'm saying? It's the family. Hallelujah. We're family. And we are honored. How do we get honor? We get honor. The blessing comes through the father and the mother. Hallelujah. And Gina, I've recognized that. That's why we have, in different places, we have gone and been a part of the church. What do we want to do? Help pay the pastor, help pay the church off, help pay the pastor's, house off. Because honor. The Bible says honor your father and mother. I believe that is biologically and spiritually, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. There's some people said, I don't want to live long on the earth, but what about that it may be well with you? How about that? And I believe things go wrong in people's lives when they do not honor their biological father and mother, and they do not honor their spiritual father and mother. He said, honor them that it may be well with you. I want it to go well with me. God gave me a biological father. We honored him. Because I realize the concept of the generational God. He's a generational God and generations. And I took my son one day and my son Rick, my grandson Hunter Dale. And we went. My dad was in bed dying, and I had him to bless us all. Bless me, the next generation. And bless my son, the next generation. And then bless my grandson, which was his great-grandson, the next generation. Bless us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And because my sister and brother-in-law took care of my dad years after he was gone, I just still bless them for blessing my dad. This is a very important principle in life that few people ever get a hold of. That the honor comes from the biological father and the spiritual father. Hallelujah. We're talking about family, the family of God. A spiritual father and mother, B.B. and Velma Hankins, when it came their 40th anniversary, some of the leaders was wanting to get them a little picture to put out in the vestibule. I said, picture nothing. We're going to give them $40,000. What? Yes. And if we don't get enough money, we just take it out of the treasury. That's what we did because I wanted to give honor. One day I stood up and just said, we're going to buy my spiritual mother. We're going to buy her a brand new car today. Just took the money. Took it. $38,000. Hallelujah. Bought her a brand new car to drive. Huh? You know the people that got mad about that? Of course, they didn't give anything because they didn't have the concept of family. They didn't know that honor, the honor they were to give to that man and woman of God that had been serving there for 40 years. Hallelujah. Help pay their property off. My pastor's in Fort Worth, Texas. We helped pay the church off. Help pay the house off. Amen. Because it's called honor. Honor. And it was when I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, it was like the Lord was saying, I'm blessing this church because there's honor here. The children honor them, and the grandparents—the grandkids honor them. There's honor in this place. There's a generational concept here. Hallelujah. Jackie understands that. Lynn understands that. Sharon understands that. Some of you other y'all understand that. Some of you've been here for a long. You understand that. It's called the family concept. Hallelujah. God blessed Abraham. And then he blessed Abraham, blessed Isaac. Isaac blessed Jacob. Jacob blessed Joseph. And what happened when Joseph got, even though his brothers, there's always going to be a sibling rivalry, even in the church. Huh? Hallelujah. Now, some of y'all can get upset at each other. But you'll think, well, the father, he favors, he loves me more. Donna says, oh, I know that Bill and Sue Hart, they love me more than anybody else. And then somebody says, oh, I don't like that. And I don't like somebody getting, I can't believe they love her more than me or love him. So there's always going to be a sibling rivalry. You understand how that works. But as long as there's a father and mother to say enough is enough, stop it now. There's that order. When I come into this house, I feel peace. I feel tranquility. I feel, but why? Because there's order here. There's not chaos here. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. Wow. Hallelujah. Come on. Because I honor them, honor Darren and Jennifer, over David and Anna and the grandkids. It's a family. Hallelujah. Am I doing okay?
Yes.
I'm trying to share my heart with you today. Keroto uriite. These all died in faith, it said, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them because and embraced them. What is it all about? We're living in eternity right now. Huh? Just, there'll be an exchange of, we'll put on a glorified body at some point. But we're family. I mean, we're going to be together in heaven forever.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We have eternal life. That's not the problem. The problem is trying to work it out here on earth. Huh? Can we really work this marriage out? Can we really work this relationship out? It's called work. But we can do it. If we're willing to be a blessing and say and defer and prefer. But I believe... Hallelujah. I believe there's a blessing that rests upon the people of this house who understand it. That's why we bring our tithe, because we understand that there needs to be meat in the house. Hallelujah. I'm not just bringing my tithe to the house. Primarily, I bring tithes to Bill and Sue Hart. And whoever works in the house, then we just work out the building. Not paying tithes to a building. Oh, me. Gene, are they getting it? How am I doing? I need to be encouraged. Please help me. Hallelujah. 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 And when Joseph was mistreated by his siblings, he could have gotten revenge. Some of you think revenge, oh, if I could just get revenge, it would be sweet. No, it wouldn't. I mean, they threw him in a pit, kept him away. We went on to jail. They kept him away from his father and his family all those years. What was a good time to get more bitter and more bitter? The bitter don't just stay bitter. They get more bitter. Huh? It begins to affect their health, affect their finances, affect their job, everything around them. So what did Joseph do when he came into power? He blessed his brothers. Hallelujah. What is the true mark of Christianity? We bless those that don't bless us. We bless those that hate us. We bless those that turn against us. We're a blessing. Why? How can we do that? Because we're a blessing. I didn't want to go to Tulsa Sunday night. I was already tired, and I knew I had a big week coming up. But the Lord just said, now you go and be a blessing. So we got on the plane one more time or so, and to be a blessing. I'm only here to be a blessing.
Yes, you
I was at a family gathering in New Year's Eve, and they were all writing down what they wanted for 2019. I said, what is it I want for 2019? And I wrote these words. In 2019, I want to be a blessing. Because a man of God told me years ago, Dale, if you keep blessing people, you will never, ever run out of blessings. So when Joseph's daddy got there, he said, I'm going to take care of you the rest of your life, and I'm going to give you the best land. It's called Goshen. I'm going to put you there. My brothers and family, all 70-something, they can live there too. But I'm going to bless you as long as you live. And he did. And Joseph took care of his daddy. When his daddy died, he wept. The whole land wept. Joseph's dad is gone. Hallelujah. It's not a seasonal thing. It's a lasting thing. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of their God. Some people come into a church and just go off and start a ministry without the blessing of the Father. Amen. Won't work. Right. Doesn't work. We got a crisis in the body of Christ, and it's only going to come into order as we recognize the family concept and the father, mother concept. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. What other scriptures could I read? I brought a whole bunch of papers here. By faith, Moses. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. What more shall I say? For time would fail to tell me of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David. Can you imagine how David's own son turned against him? Tried to take power away, tried to divide the people. And the Lord wouldn't put up with it. We don't honor fathers and mothers, biological, spiritual. A lot of things can happen to us. But you know what David did when word came that his son had died? He just cried out, my son, my son, my son. And they said, we're going to kill your son. Don't hurt my son. Don't hurt my son. The love of the Father. What did God say when Jesus was baptized? A voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hallelujah. I love it when Bill Hart gives me a compliment. Received an offering for me on Friday night, this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love our fathers, but especially when he buys us a new car or a new shotgun or... Hallelujah. It said all of these, at the conclusion of chapter 11, you thought I was going to preach the whole chapter. The conclusion of the matter, all of these having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive all that they wanted here. Because God had provided something better. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's see if I've preached all my notes here. Hallelujah. I think I have. Hallelujah. 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 Well, how about that, sports fan? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just to be a blessing. To be a blessing. To be a blessing. You know, the Lord put in my heart, I'm not receiving an offer this morning, by the way, but the Lord put in my heart months ago, we're gonna get Bill and Sue's heart house paid off. I believe that will happen. I'll help burn the mortgage. I believe it's gonna happen. because I believe in the concept that if you want to if you want to be blessed, then you be a blessing. Gene and I, the morning that I took up commitments, anybody here that morning? We came to give. Now we had received, have I got time to tell this? Two or three more minutes. We'd received a prophecy. How many believes in prophecy? That means foretelling. Hallelujah. Yeah, a young lady that helped me prophesy, she's here today from Oklahoma City. Both these young ladies we love. And so I know they believe in prophecy. I don't know many of you. So we get this prophecy. A woman comes one day and says to us, because we moved to Austin, we could be near our kids and our grandkids, and Sherry Parker helped us in all of this, bless her, and helped us sell our house in Argyle, Texas, near Fort Worth, then helped us find a rental place because we said we're not ever going to have a mortgage again. So found us a nice home. I said, Lord, we'd like to have 10 things about this home, and God gave us all 10. Hallelujah. Including nobody had been smoking there. And so, hallelujah, et cetera, et cetera. So a lady came one day and gave us a prophecy and said to Gene, go out and find a house, and somebody will come and pay for it. Now, that's pretty radical. Go out and find a house, and somebody will pay for it. So what does Jean do? I mean, she's just a woman of faith. She's just radical. Especially when it comes to where we live, she gets really radical. Because I believe that God is very concerned about that. So we just go out looking at, we've lived in a few old homes. We live in more new homes. And we determined we like new homes better. So we just looked at new homes. And one day we went into this new home, not far from where we were living. And Gene said, I like this home. This is the home I want to live in. And so we contacted Cher to see if she could help us make a deal. But we couldn't make a deal because we didn't even have money for a down payment. And we weren't going to go into debt. I mean, it was that God is at work at all times, huh? Even while we're asleep, he's at work. He's working on our behalf, huh? He's been working according to our words. Oh yes. So Gene said, I'm gonna live in that new home. And somebody came and showed it, and on the key said home sweet home. I mean, it was like, yeah. But it was impossible for us to live in that new home. I mean, that's a very expensive home. That's a 4,000 square foot home. We don't know how it's going to happen. But the morning we come to invest in the father and mother's house, their home, because what you have make happen for others, then God begins to make happen for you. So we're here, and we brought our $5,000. And right in the middle of when I was doing this, the Holy Ghost spoke to Gene and I both, double it. Now, we didn't have $10,000 available, but with a little bit of money left in what people would call the retirement fund, which we don't ever believe we're going to retire, but a little fun, we got the money to be able to draw it out. But before we got home, on the way at Oak Hill, 290 and 71, the phone rings, and there is a man on the other end of the line saying, my wife and I just prayed about it, talked about it. We're going to buy that home. We're paying cash for it. And they didn't give it to us, but they said, you can live in it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can live in it. It happened the very day that we blessed the father, because the blessings come for the father and the mother. I believe I'm a blessed man today because I've honored, I didn't get it all right, but I've honored my father. My mother, Gina, honored her father and mother. And I've honored the pastors in my life, spiritual fathers, mothers in my life, because I realized, I found years ago, that the blessing comes from the father. Why was Esau crying out, "Oh, Father, please bless me. Do you have a blessing for me?" Hallelujah. We still don't own a home, but we're living in a home, a beautiful home. Because we bless the Father and the Mother, because we are a blessing. I don't mind saying that. We are a blessing. And we understand what family is about. We understand the concept of family. Not only a biological family, but a spiritual family. And people will be coming into this church more and more that understand the family concept. If they don't, they will disappear because they don't get it. I'm not casting aspersions today. I'm just saying they don't get it. They think just show up at a church, bless me, I enjoy the worship, I like the location, it's more convenient, it's more... No. The family concept comes by revelation. Okay, let's get on your feet. We're going to pray.